You remember one thing about something, but it's like, what was that? The sugar and spice episode? What's going on
Pepper and
there?
spice. It was
Down there,
pepper and spice.
there was pepper and spice. I remember. Is this the peppermints?
Oh
Was
my
it
gosh, you're thinking of salt and pepper, aren't you?
salt and pepper?
Ah, the peppermint show.
Hey, this is Ryan. Welcome back to another episode of Scratched. This week, we revisit some of our past concert experiences, first albums, and Bale Shatters Eloy's view of the 80s. All of that and so much more is waiting for you in this episode of Scratched. If that isn't enough Scratched for you, make sure you join us on our Facebook page and on Instagram to stay in touch with all the guys. But for now, let's jump headfirst into episode 202. So Doc has a whiteboard. Is it beside you, behind you?
It's directly to my left.
Try not to give people visuals. We can't do visuals.
Well, he sent me a picture of it today because he was noting things that we were talking about.
You got to pay extra for the visuals, man.
Right. Patreon. If you subscribe to our Patreon.
We have a Patreon and a GoFundMe and a Kickstarter. And go see that.
Yeah, we're also on all the social medias. And I also have a dry erase board, bringing things back on topic. I don't know where the dry erase board. No, I do know where the dry erase board came from. I was watching Big Bang Theory when it first came out, and it just seemed that all those scientist guys all had like big dry erase boards next to them where they could like put their problems and kind of look at them from far away. So I thought that was a good idea. And as soon as I started doing that, it really helped out that I can see like everything I have to do or want to do in one shot. It really helps. So yeah, I have one devoted to Scratched. Anytime we need to refer to the big board, we can go to the board.
I really appreciate your callback to last week's episode via your apparel.
Ah, thank you for noticing.
I asked two of the guys I work with today what they call them, and because they're both from down in Mississippi, I think, and they just called them ponchos.
For those of you listening at home, I am currently wearing my Baja blah blah, whatever you want to call it. Continue.
Baja / drug rug / Mexican blanket.
Yeah. It looks like a car seat cover. I believe that's what my grandfather said about the one I had in the 90s. He's like, it kind of looks like a car seat cover. Did you make it into a sweater? I was like, no, Pop, this was made like this. No, okay then.
Did you guys ever rock those beaded car seat covers? They were supposed to be like good for your back or whatever. Had like all the individual beads on them.
I remember seeing those. Those were they looked so like for old people and stuff. With wood? Because they had some wooden ones too.
I think they were all wood.
Oh, they were they? Yeah.
If I recall, I never had one. I remember my grandparents had them in their vehicles.
Yeah, well, I was going to say the same thing. That's hilarious that you mentioned that.
I think everyone did. They came standard issue when you have your first grandchild. It's like, okay, here is your funny hat, and here are your big high-waisted pants, and here is your beaded seat cover.
Dude, I know that this is not, you know, I don't care. So I know this is not a woodworking thing, but I have to ask Bales, what the heck was those tiles that were, what were they like tree trunks that they cut into sections and then pasted it onto the wall and then the tiles? What the heck was that, dude?
Explain it first. Explain what you ran into.
Oh, I'm currently gutting a portion of my bathroom due to the most recent nor'easter, which tore shingles off my roof and let water in. So I have a bunch of water damage. So I'm going to have to gut the bathroom in time. But right now I'm just attacking the walls that I know for sure have water damage. So at some point, someone tiled from the floor to about 4 feet up glass tiles, like glass subway tiles, but large format tiles. Like this, they have to be at least 6x12. Instead of doing, I don't know what you'd use on the wall. Mastic, or do you actually use mastic, mortar
or thin set or right. Mastic.
So instead of, you know, if I were going to do it, I would do thin set with the trowel and notch trowel. But one of the easier ways or the cheat ways to do it so that you can level the tiles easily is you just put blops on the back of the tile and that lets you shift it to make sure they're all level with each other. And whomever put this up, it looks like huge dollops of construction adhesive, like 4 to 5 on each tile. But the dollops are a half inch thick.
Yeah, that's what I thought when I saw the picture. I was like, oh, someone went in there with the liquid nails and gave that to business, because it looked like, yeah. At first, I thought it was sections of like a tree that they were using as shims.
No, I thought that Bales was inventing some new
stuff.
Yeah.
No, I'm tearing it apart. But the worst part is, I mean, if you're laying ceramic tile on the wall, you're going to leave your and I'm drawing a blank tonight, but you're going to leave all the lines that you're going to fill with grout later on. But they just did full on butt joints. So there's nothing in between any of these tiles. So moisture for decades was just getting behind here. So the sheetrock behind there is just black with mold.
Oh, wow. I wonder how long it had been like that, too.
It's got to be decades. I mean, this house is 1923. And I don't think it's original, because that wall was sheetrock, where most of the other walls are horsehair plaster.
How hard was it to get them off?
Not very hard at all. You just put a little pry bar in with a little pressure.
Yeah, I was wondering with like how much they put behind it, if it was difficult to release. Because I know when it's put on with those notched trowels, it pops off pretty easy.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't bad. Some of it popped off the tile, and others just pulled the top layer of paper off the sheetrock.
That's crazy.
So I have a stack of unbroken tiles and then the few I broke, but I don't really know what I'm going to do with them. We have a couple of architectural salvage joints around here, but who's really going to want 30 to 40 to 50 year old glass tiles with huge peanut butter dollops on the back?
eBay.
Yeah. Vintage. That's on a vintage
shop. Ship them. All the weight.
Yeah, I see those underneath every bench at every flea market. There's a box.
Really? Of the glass tiles?
Any kind of tile. Some was still with the grout and stuff still on. It's like, yeah, well, if you want them, you can do all the work. Nah, I'm good, man. Thank you.
That's speaking of, we're getting ready to do a deck on the back of our house. And when we first moved in here, we just moved in last year. And my dad, when he moved into his house, tore out this big hill, just a great big mound that was in his yard. And he got about a foot into it, and then underneath it, it was just a big filler of old paver bricks for like brick roads, just tons of them. So he like put them off to the side or whatever. So we were like trying to be clever, and we decided to make a patio out of it. Awful idea, by the way. So we put down like stone and beat it down and everything and laid it on it. But we decided to go with a wood deck this year, and I have no idea what I'm going to do with them. But these bricks are like 100 years old.
Dude, that's awesome as heck. I remember when you showed us that they had, I think it was you that showed us, you posted something that showed the like it was dated or something on the back of one. That was you, yeah?
Yeah. Some company here in Ohio, like over by Akron, Ohio, made them. And I guess they made them for like the whole Midwest. So every brick road was made of those. But they're not like standard bricks. They're really dense and super heavy, and they're notched real weird, like how they would fit together in the road. They're pretty neat, but who wants those? Any of you guys want them? You gotta pay shipping.
Yeah, send a self-addressed envelope to Ryan at Scratched Podcast for a box full of free bricks.
Just put them up on eBay and say they came out of like a well-known speakeasy.
Right,
for like $50 a brick.
Artisanal handmade bricks.
Yeah,
right.
Just gotta hit all the cliche SEO terms.
Yeah,
SEO. Yeah, we could do that, and then taco, 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 and then you'll be at the top of every. That and seems then, to be hot.
Throw some googly eyes on them and call them pet brick.
Yeah, start a new fad,
Mr. Brick.
You know what? That just might. I don't know why, but I like that idea.
Yeah, patent pending. By the way, patent pending. Mr. Brick is the intellectual property of Scratched.
Maybe he's Dr. Brick.
He could go to school. We could have a whole brick, you know, ensemble. Mr. Brick, Mrs. Brick, Brickette, Handy Brick. We could be like the Smurf Village all over again. We could just be a ripoff of the Smurfs.
Do you get a chance to check out that show yet, Doc? The toy, what was it called? Bales, I think you knew the title of it.
Toys That Made Us. Now, I haven't got a chance to check that out yet, but I've been locked on to the Toys R Us story. I don't really follow the news, but for whatever reason, like, that's one story I've been following because it just seems that, I don't know, seems so well orchestrated, or like so unwell orchestrated. Like, they're already talking about what's going to pop up in the aftermath of Toys R Us. Like, KB, who is owned by some other company now, has announced that it's going to start like making its presence felt again. And, you know, pop-up stores are going to start happening around Christmas time and whatever.
KB is still open.
It's not, but the name was recently, like, I think 6 months ago. Now I'm going to be speaking out of church here, so forgive me if I'm wrong. But, like, within the last year, maybe, KB, the name was bought by somebody. And I think some offshore company, to be honest with you. And they're going to start trying to move in smaller spots and whatever. So that should be interesting. I don't know. It's weird to think that those stores are going to close, but I haven't been to one in forever. I mean,
yeah.
I had the same feeling about it when I saw the all the announcements of the stores closed. I was like, oh man, that's really too bad. And then I thought about it, and I've only been in a Toys R Us once in my entire life.
What?
And it was probably in my 20s, because I don't remember having Toys R Us back in Iowa.
Dude, that's...
We used to go to Kmart and Target, and then we'd go to the toy section. But I don't remember ever going to a dedicated toy store aside from KB that was in the mall.
Wait a second. You guys had... How old is... I thought that Target was something... Did you say Target?
Kmart, yeah. Kmart and Target. I worked at a Target when I was 18.
I don't remember. I thought Target was something like recently, because I don't remember Targets till the 2000s, to be perfectly honest with you.
No, I had a seasonal job at Target when I was 17 or 18.
Yeah, that's regional, Eloy. I think it was, you're thinking when Target went full blown nationwide.
Yeah.
It was a regional store for a good long while before that.
I wanted to mention, since you brought... I'm glad you brought up the Toys R Us thing. I mean, and I can't believe Bales went into a Toys R Us. Well, wait a second. When was that one time that you went to the Toys R Us?
I was in Boston. So I would have been early 20s.
Dude, that was the biggest... One of the biggest exciting thrills.
Now, were you meandering into that store for yourself, or were you buying a toy for a kid?
No comment. No, my roommate after college was, and still is, a huge wrestling fan. So he used to like to go to look at the wrestling action figures and all that jazz. I'd just go to look around. I think I actually got a Star Wars puzzle or something because I was bored. But it would have been early 20s for sure.
I don't think my kids have ever set foot in a Toys R Us.
Wow. But the thing is, the way that we interact and live our lives these days is everyone's in a rush and we're on a time crunch. So that's why these superstores are so popular, like Super Walmart down in... Well, my parents live in Tennessee, so it's all about Super Walmart, where there's a huge grocery store, there's a couple of restaurants in there, and you can buy all your stupid sweatpants and whatever you need. Just stick a gum, and they have a whole packy section. It's great, but
you can't walk into a Walmart and walk by that sweatpants area and not find one that you think suits you. You know, you look and, oh, they got all the colors, and look at the price. I need a sweat. I mean, I swear to you, that's so true.
Walmart really is the one-stop shop for all your white trash needs.
Dude, yeah. I love Walmart as much as I love Disney World.
Must better for people watching. There's like a whole rack of those full body snuggy suits. I can see Eloy going in there and getting the alligator full size snuggy.
You know, it's... You know what is depressing though about Walmart? That they do titillate you with a few rock and roll shirts, but then all of them are like the crappy Batman or, like, you know, Wonder Woman t-shirts and stuff. And I'll go, and every now and then you'll find a gem. Right, like a Jimi Hendrix or something like that. So that's pretty exciting. But
I won't knock their cheap t-shirts. Them are some pretty cheap throwaway t-shirts.
Yeah. Like, is it a fully licensed Jimi Hendrix t-shirt or is it like a J-I-M-M-Y Hendrix?
Yeah. Those.
Jimmy. C-H-I-M-I. Jimi Hendrix.
Jimi Hendrix.
The Toys R Us thing, I just want to say, we had a Toys R Us at International Mall just down the road from here, like 2 miles away from here. And as a little kid, I remember going there for the G.I. Joes and going there for the Star Wars. First, it was the Star Wars, and then it was the G.I. Joes. And then I think Atari came along, and they had those Atari cassettes. And then, of course, later, the Nintendo. But early on, I remember going there and purchasing Atari, and they had it behind a big, like, case, you know, like a plastic whatever behind a desk, and it was just a wall of Atari stuff. And then they, when Atari wasn't the thing and Nintendo, then it was a wall of Nintendo stuff. And dude, just going into that Toys R Us, it was like the best thrill for a kid in the world. Totally loved that.
So, like, what kind of stores did you guys frequent as teenagers? I mean, were malls a big thing for you guys, or?
For me, yeah.
I mean, I'm thinking Doc's around my age, so I remember going to, like, Spencer's and.
Yeah, well, like Balesy said last time we got together, parents would drop you off. Sometimes you'd go to a movie, or you'd get there early and be like, oh, on purpose. Be like, oh, the movie we don't want to see doesn't play until like 8, but it's like 5. Ah, we'll be fine. We'll be fine. We got 3 hours. We'll kill 3 hours, and you'd eat a bunch of crappy food and buy a bunch of stuff you weren't supposed to, and then go see a movie that you lied about. Dude.
And there were arcades back then.
Mm. Oh, man. Yeah. We eat an awful lot of member berry pie, for what it's worth. Remember arcades? Remember that? Anyway, I was thinking about that before. I was like, man, everything I write down on this board is like, I could just see, you know, and have the flashback. Do, 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 do. Remember that time? Do, 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 do. Yeah, anyway, go ahead. Back to the arcade.
We would definitely hit the arcade and Spencer, you know, just to look at all the gag gifts.
Oh, yeah.
But I think most of my time was spent in the record stores or at, during my childhood, it would have been tapes and CDs. CDs had just come out. And I don't, Eloy probably remembers when CDs were sold in those really long cardboard
boxes.
Plastic, like a plastic enclosure.
No, and before the plastic security enclosure, it was a cardboard rectangle box. And you would save the box and you'd hang that on your wall next to all your, you know, pinups like Ryan was talking about.
I didn't get into the CD. I would buy cassettes and they still had, so when we were coming up, they had records were still the most thing in the store, like in the middle where you had your foot traffic. Along the walls, they had the CDs and cassettes were intermingled with it. And you'd see the titles. Sometimes I think they'd have the picture every now and then, but then they'd be categorized by like a library and they'd have them, you know, placed in there and you'd have to pull them out to look at them and then put them back in. That's how I remember that. But you didn't purchase records, Bales?
No.
Dude.
No, I had a cheap record player. I would get the record if I liked the artwork enough that I wanted to display it. But I started out with tapes. And the first car I drove was my dad's, and it had an 8-track, so I couldn't listen to anything in it. It was the second car I ended up. Well, so the first car I drove was my father's 79 Malibu. I don't know if any of you guys remember this. The huge boat with the two doors.
Yeah.
And the doors over time were so heavy that the pins would sag. So you'd have to lift the door as you closed it.
Yeah.
Oh, man, it was a pain. It was a carburetor. So in the winter, you're trying to get it started. And the hood's up. And your friend's opening the flaps. It was a pain. But I had my eye. I was looking for a car, and I found this 69 Chevelle 4 on the floor that I really, really wanted. And my dad's like, you can't have that. It's not practical. You're going to be chasing rust and bodywork forever. You're never going to find parts, blah, blah, blah.
And I was That's so true.
I was so pissed off. I'm like, God, you can't control me, Dad. So I, I come home from work one day. I was working at this is going to sound close, so cliche. I was working at McDonald's. I'd go to school and then I'd work as many hours as I could at McDonald's because I had wicked long hair. So no one else wanted to hire me. I couldn't get a job at the mall record store or anywhere because no one wanted to hire a long haired kid because, you know, your label is trouble. So I'm saving all this money because, damn you, Dad, I'm getting this Chevelle. And I'd drive by the lot every week to make sure it was there. But I came home one day and there's this car sitting in the driveway. I'm like, what the hell is this car doing in my parking spot? So he'd gone out and bought me a car. And it was a 1990 Z24 Cavalier 5-speed.
Nice.
And it had a tape deck, ooh, right? Which I then upgraded to Discman.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You guys have a Discman?
Yeah.
So you get the Discman, and then you get the tape adapter kit. So you listen, sure, listen to all your CDs in your car on your tape deck. Oh, man.
I still do that with my phone.
Really?
Yeah.
You have Bluetooth tape yet?
No, not in my 2000 RAM.
Oh, man.
That would have been awesome.
But throwback to seat covers. In that Z24 Cavalier, I had tiger-striped seat covers. Nice. And they were maroon, white, and black. Because the car was maroon.
You had the best selection of all the horrible, like, it was like, you didn't want to go with the regular tiger stripe. You had to do that. Damn, oh, dude.
It had to match the paint scheme on the car.
Right. That's good.
You know, wow. No, it's burnt into my mind right now, dude.
Now you're jealous, I know.
You guys were talking about buying full-on albums in the record store or, you know, CD store or whatever. And I that's how I bought them when I was a teenager, too. And I'm sure Doc did. But our kids will never know how that works, where you heard one song on the radio and then you go buy a CD and then you get home and start listening to it. And you're like, man, the rest of this is awful.
Oh, yeah.
They can, like, pick and choose what they want to listen to, which is great, but...
No, but it's great and it's not great at the same time, because back then, at least for me, you were kind of, when you spent your $10 or whatever the heck, mm-hmm. you're invested in that freaking record, and you're gonna find the one that the song you like, and you're gonna deal with the other. So you actually had to like it and take it, and I did discover a lot of cool things and read up on it's cool when you have to sort of ingest a full album and spend time with it. At least for me, it was good to be able to do that. Because now you can run around and pick from here and there, which is great, but it's good us coming into that, but having the limitation actually helped you get into the people that wrote that album and like sort of learn about that particular thing, but it was limiting, but still, if that makes sense, I don't know.
No, I mean, I remember, I think the first Metallica CD I actually bought with my own money was Load, I think. And I don't think I would have ended up liking half the songs on there if I wouldn't have just listened it to death, because I spent the money on it and I didn't want to waste my money.
Dude.
All right. I got to know. We got to go around the room. First album you bought with your own money.
I can't remember which one was that I bought with
my first earned money or first gifted money. Because it doesn't matter.
The first album that you put enough thought into to part with your income.
Oh, with my income?
Wasn't given to you, wasn't dubbed by a friend, but you purchased it.
It was Papa Roach. Papa Roach's first album.
Really?
Yep. It was my first job I had when I was 16. That was the first CD I bought with it.
And the single? That's the one that got you?
In Fest, yeah, from...
Last Resort was the single, right?
Yep.
Right.
I can't remember.
Come on, Eloy.
I remember. Got one for you. Go ahead, Doc.
Yeah, here's some old school stuff. I laid my good penny down, and Columbia House sent me some CDs in the mail the best of every band from the 70s that I had heard on the radio. That I was like, Dad, this band's cool, right? And he was like, yep. I was like, all right. So that's what I did. So I had all those. I know I had a Rush greatest hits in there. There was probably that the ubiquitous Doors greatest hit with that picture of Jim Morrison on the front. And I'm trying to think of what else was in there, but there was a couple compilation best of, you know, classic nice. Rock, blah blah. So
that's a good way to yeah, dude, hell yeah.
I recall that being huge for me, you know. Like I said, so out of touch. I don't know, I didn't have like my own childhood, like I had my own like personal, whether kids were listening to stuff that was topical. I was like, yeah, this is rocking good stuff here, what is this? And I'd go to school and talk to them about it, and they'd have no clue what I was talking about. Yeah, man. Did anyone else do the Columbia House? Penny?
I ended up jumping into Columbia House, yeah.
Yeah, man. 7 albums for a penny.
Yeah. And then you get suckered into what? Buying 6 or 7 more at $20 each?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's how it went down. I don't know. At that point, I had checked out.
Elo, you still don't remember?
No, I could just tell you because I bought so many. So, but the problem is that I don't remember. So, like, the first... I remember, I don't even remember it was my own money, but I do remember purchasing Garage Days Revisited, the record, at Mall of the Americas, here, another mall here in Miami. But it could have, I could have gone to that mall with my grandma and she might have purchased it. I can't remember, dude. I bought Raising Hell by Run DMC. Do you remember that album?
I wasn't really into rap.
Dude, that's the one with
Aerosmith.
Great hits like Aerosmith, yeah, Walk This Way and My Adidas. Everybody loves My Adidas. You don't know those songs? You have to you should listen to okay. You should go and search for on YouTube the song Raising Hell by Run DMC and tell me if that's not a rocking song. On the level of AC/DC, and I'm not even joking. I'm like serious.
And they won't be mad if they're worn in bad weather.
What, the Adidas?
Yes, that was like the best line in the Adidas. That was.
Oh, so you knew about it?
Yeah, I'm not gonna sit here and come at you like I have some sort of hip hop past, but you know, there were kids that I knew that had louder speakers than the rest of us, and they. Play that stuff, so yeah, I know all about it.
Yeah, I can't remember, dude. Because the problem is, last thing I'll say about that is that we used to trade a lot of music because we could record the cassettes over, and everybody was trading so many things and even bought albums. Like a friend would have a brother that gave him Ozzy Osbourne's Bark at the Moon, which is one of the earliest, you know. And you know what? It could have been. I know I bought with my money, but I don't remember the. I could have been Black Sabbath's Sabbath Bloody Sabbath, because I know that my parents would not buy that for me. It's got Ozzy sitting there with like demon creatures floating over a bed, and he's, you know, sitting there in satin sheets with a orangey fire, hellfire color. So that might have been, you know.
He can't remember the first album, but he can remember in detail what the album cover looked like in detail.
Oh, yeah.
Well, he probably stared at it while the album was playing, because I used to read through the liner notes and read all the lyrics, memorize who played what instrument.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, liner notes were great. That was the internet before the internet. It would be like, yeah, I'm going to learn some stuff and be able to bust out some trivia. Later on over beers, man, my friends are going to be very impressed that I know this.
But I'll tell you this. One, I had a friend that invited me over to his house after school. We were talking on the bus or at school and then on the bus. And he said, yeah, man, my brother, he owns all these records and I don't, you know, he doesn't want them and I don't want them. And so come over to my house and, you know, I'll hook you up with some records and stuff. And I was like, sure. I was like, what? Rock and roll records for free? Like literally a truckload of, and I walk up into his house. I wonder if that house is still here in Sweetwater. It was a two-story, it looked old as heck. And we walk up to his room, and it's his brother's room, and he puts on the record player, and the first thing he shows me or to listen to is Pink Floyd's Dark Side of the Moon, which I had never heard before in my life. And when he says, dude, you got to listen to this, and he plays, and we're little kids, and he puts it on, and I hear that intro, and I'm like, this is not rock and roll. And it's like, you know, the beginning of that album. But anyways, on that, I got Van Halen 2. I got Twisted Sister. I might have gotten Cinderella as well. So I got Twisted Sister as well, and a few other ones. So I ended up with like 6 or 7 albums that I took home for free.
It's awesome.
Damn, it was great, dude. My father used to hate that, though, because I would play as loud as can be, and the floors were wood, and it would transfer over to the other room, and I'd be jamming, and he'd bust open and scream, shut that, you know, junk off. And I'd freeze because it was like such a over. Yeah, I remember that.
So what was yours, Bales?
Oh, it's going to be uncharacteristic. My first purchased tape was Aha, Haunting High and Low.
No way.
Yeah.
Can you still hit that note?
No.
Oh,
damn. Well, awesome, though.
I might be able to, but I'm not going to go on this podcast.
That's going to be a very special episode.
That was
on Patreon.
Yeah, there you go. That was a huge video on MTV, man. It was like half real and half like the comic book sketch.
It was very German. I remember the sketches were even kind of German. Had that feel to it, and the guy on the motorcycle.
Yeah, man.
I always think of that episode of Family Guy where Chris gets pulled into that video.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Chris, where have you been? I don't know.
Didn't take long before my cousin started playing Twisted Sister, and then I was buying all the Motley Crue albums. So my Aha period didn't last very long.
Oh, yeah, dude. That's right. When friends would come along and give you, because they would do that. They'd give you the cassette and say, dude, check this out. Mm-hmm. And you'd go home and like put it on, and then you'd hear something new and stuff. That was exciting. When I first heard Motley Crue, it was Girls, Girls, Girls. I got loaned that, and I took that home, and they were like bikers in the front cover and stuff. And I was like, wow, rock and frickin' roll.
And then you saw the video for Wild Side where Tommy Lee spins upside down in the cage.
Yeah, dude. Was it during that era?
Yeah. Yep.
And I remember when they, and this was later, a friend of mine handed me, just to see it, the Dr. Feelgood cassette. He says, this is the baddest freaking, and it was. I ended up buying that too. What a freaking album. Wow.
Have you gone back and listened to it? Because I was listening to it Sunday as I was cutting up a tree with a chainsaw, and it's not as badass anymore.
Dude, I have the album, so I know what you mean, but I look at it more like, so Dr. Feelgood is a good slamming song. That one, Shake, Shake, Shake,
Rattlesnake, Shake.
I mean, that's kind of dorky, the theme, but they were rocking. I'm okay with a little bit of cringe.
If you put on Theater of Pain now, you're going to want to punch yourself in the face.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's horrible.
I'm going to have to go back and listen to that.
I'm going to have to listen to Shout at the Devil and Live Wire again to see if those hold up. But Theater of Pain is horrible.
So you're telling me Dr. Feelgood don't hold up?
Ah, man, no. I mean, go listen to it. The Ballad, Time for Change, okay. Sticky Sweet, Slice of Your Pie.
Okay, yeah, you're right.
Come on, Vince.
Okay, then
the other ballad where there's a really bad overdub, there's like a vocal overdub, and you're going to catch it. There's like this part in the song where Vince must have dinked it up so many times that he just had to punch him in. So he's like, like really loud. It's going to hit you in the face like an ice pick. It's horrible.
I'm going to listen to it again. Have you heard him singing the national anthem?
No.
That video? You totally have to see that on YouTube. It's a nightmare. But
is it worse than Fergie?
That was bad.
Who's Fergie? Bad.
Let's play some basketball.
I don't even know who Fergie is. Fergie.
Oh, hey, the ballad I'm talking about on Dr. Feelgood is "Without You."
Oh, I love that song, so dude.
If you go back and listen to it, you're gonna hear a punch. Like okay. It starts like the second verse. It's horrible.
Okay, that song. Oh, without you, there's no pain.
That's the one. Sound just like him.
Now keep going. Don't stop, Eloy. Yeah.
Well, I'm not that inspired to sing.
Karaoke night here at Scratched. Everybody, be sure to tip your waitress. You know, shots are $2.
Wait a second.
Dr. Feelgood was awesome, and I saw that concert. I saw them on that tour twice, and it was amazing.
Well, but what's that song that I came home today down, or my friends came today down from L.A.? We were shooting pool all night, sleeping half of the day. Is it that's the song that you're talking about?
No, it's different.
Girl, don't go away.
That's Don't Go Away Mad. Yeah.
Don't Go Away Mad. Yeah. That's a badass song, or no?
No.
Dude, no way, dude. Millions of Motley Crue fans can't be wrong. They can be wrong, but I.
You say millions?
There dude. Can't be that many left.
I mean, they went flat. Okay, Eloy, we're around the same age, or exactly the same age. First concert you attended?
Oh, let me see. It probably had to be Metallica. And really?
Which tour?
The Black Album.
That was your first concert?
I didn't go to concerts until late. Yep.
I think you're lying.
No, seriously. I
think you were following New Kids on the Block or something, and you don't want to admit it.
Dude, so, I would never, dude. The Black Album. The Black Album, and notice it was the Black Album, so it's nice and heavy. So I saved my ass right there, because if I would have busted out with, what was it, New Kids on the Block? Yeah, my first show was New Kids on the Block.
But my mom liked them, and she made me go.
Yeah. The opening act was, what was it? Sugar and spice. What was the spice? Pepper and spice? What was
it? You know a lot about this. We're not ever going.
What was that?
Wait. Hold on. Eloy, you tell stories like someone's grandfather. You have like one, you remember one thing about something, but it's just like, what was that? The sugar and spice episode? What's going on
pepper
there?
Pepper and spice. It was down pepper
there,
and spice.
There was pepper and spice. I remember. Is this the peppermints?
Oh
was
my gosh. You're thinking of salt and pepper, aren't you?
Salt and pepper.
Ah, the peppermint show. Ah, I'm a big fan of the peppermint.
Salt and pepper.
It was in the spice rack. He was close. Right. I don't know, man. Come on, man.
Well, I'm sorry.
So, what did you say? Salt and pepper and spice. Pepper and spice. All right, that's the name of our new band. Pepper and spice.
Oh my goodness.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, I'm sorry. We're
going to be a Motley Crue tribute band called Pepper and Spice. Because it seems that you guys already know all the tunes.
Right.
So I think we're just going to go.
Eloy does anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what was yours, Doc? Was your first concert?
I think when I was in high school, the girl I was dating, her parents and her uncle, or her uncle had something to do with the like the Sixers, the 76ers, and we got tickets to.
Can you clarify?
Six packs. He was big in the six packs.
Oh, man,
whatever you guys, but through the arena or whatever, we got tickets to see Billy Joel.
Okay, which that's awesome.
Was like at the time, like I couldn't even really have a frame of reference to appreciate it, but like the older I get, the more it was like, wow.
Yeah,
and I remember no frame of reference because, like you said, first concert of that magnitude, like in a sports arena.
Nice.
Yeah. It was really, really impressive, but you know, it totally should have been like it, you know, full-on light show and the whole thing. Nice. So yeah, it was awesome.
How about yours, Ryan?
Mine was the best lineup Ozfest ever had.
Oh wow!
Asbest 2003 was my first one.
See that total. That's
was awesome.
Who was on it?
Disturbed, Korn, Ozzy, Manson, Red or not Red, Chevelle. Chevelle was awful.
Really?
03. Yeah, Chevelle got booed off stage.
03.
Cradle of Filth. Jason Newsted's band Voivod was there.
How were they?
Oh, they were awful too.
Get out of town. Really?
Yeah, it was not good. I'm trying to think who else was there.
Dude, we're like really bad musical critics for, I mean, if they ever hear this for someone, please. I mean, we're
that
really
was
bad.
Your first concert was a festival.
Mm-hmm.
So you That's just go awesome. On all in like Doc goes into Columbia House.
Yeah. And we only paid $10 to get into that.
What?
Yeah, we went down like 3 weeks beforehand and stood in line for like 6 hours to get those tickets for $10. Because they were giving away like 500 tickets at $10 a pop. So we stood in line in Columbus for like, yeah, it was like 6 hours. It was nuts.
Dude, that's awesome, bro, dude.
What album was Korn on?
Remember? Maybe O3. Issues.
Oh, yeah. That's my favorite Korn album.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah.
Hey,
there's some good songs on there.
Let me just say this. I have a question, but before the question, I just want to say that I'm deeply saddened and offended that Bales has such little regard for the wonderful 80s tunes that Motley Crue. it hurts that you know.
Is this going to be scratched reboots,
ladies and gentlemen? Yeah, an open apology letter from Eloy to Vince Neil. Go ahead, continue.
I was all about Motley Crue. I had like almost 30 Motley Crue t-shirts throughout high school. That's all I wore was ripped jeans and Motley Crue t-shirts. I'm saying at my age now, which is 43, unfortunately, going back and listening to Dr. Feelgood, it just doesn't live up to it. It's just not good, man.
Well, dude, you can't expect. So look, shake, 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 rattlesnake, shake.
The other one that starts with a zipper. Zip, she goes down. Come on.
She goes down.
I think we need to have a dramatic reading of this song. Eva, we need to or play the bongos and do like a hit poem.
Well,
Come on, man.
But when he puts it in that light, it just all sounds silly. He's right. But at the same time, it's like, don't steal that childhood wonder from me. What? It's like telling somebody that Santa Claus don't exist. Oh, sorry. I just said that live on air.
To all of our prepubescent listeners.
just don't go back and listen.
Oh, man.
And I'm going to tell you, before I forget, my first concert was Kiss.
Nice.
The Crazy Nights tour.
Oh, that's great, dude.
And I think Faster Pussycat was on the bill.
Oh, wow, dude.
And possibly Slaughter.
Oh, my goodness, dude. Shit.
And then the best part, the friend that I rode there with decided he was going to go to an after party, so he ditched me. So I had to call my mother, wake her up to have her come pick me up.
Oh, but what an awesome concert. Man, you guys, thank goodness, if they would have dropped you in some sort of rap place, you guys would have been like rappers with like hats and stuff on and stuff.
What?
With hats on?
Yeah, those crazy rappers with their hats all the time and their hats on. But judging by what Bales paints a picture of himself looking like back in the day, there would have been no way my mom would have let me hang out with you. None. Not at all. Ripped jeans, Motley Crue.
So are you very Axl Rose-ish? Picturing that kind of hair and that dressing style.
People used to call me Anthony Kiedis or Mark Slaughter and sometimes Chris Cornell. So I had.
Oh, that's cool.
Could have been worse. Could have been worse.
Yeah, it could have been.
Well,
tube socks?
No tube socks. What are you talking about, man?
You said Anthony Kiedis. I just figured.
That's a sock. Not a pair. I see.
No, not a pair. I mean, unless you need a pair. I mean,
I was going to ask you guys what can you run down with all the bands that you did see live?
Never.
You've seen that many?
I went through a little phase between like, I don't know, between 19 and 21 where I worked at a car wash and I lived with my parents, and I had younger brothers, so I was kind of like off of their radar. So I had a room, and you know what I mean? They really didn't care if I was still at the house like that. It was just another kid, you know? So I was kind of able to live like that, and we just kind of would save our money, and we went to concerts all the time.
Yeah.
Like festivals like that. My buddy's mom was like very thorough, so we'd tell her like, we want to go to this concert, and we'd pay her cash, and she would like internet up the tickets. And like, this is back in the day, I remember when we were driving far, she would give us the trip ticks from AAA because she was a member of AAA. So like, we'd have these like full-on printouts of where we were going and what we were doing. Yeah, we used to all the time. I remember leaving at midnight on a Friday night, driving to Pittsburgh, like Latrobe, for an all-day festival, getting there like 2 hours before it started, staying until the last act, getting back in the car and driving like the 6 hours home, and then sleeping for 2 days after that.
So we've all been to quite a few concerts. What would you say is your favorite one you've been to?
And the last one. Say the favorite one and the latest one that you've been to.
That's actually one and the same for me. It was... Gosh, it's been about 4 or 5 years since we've been to one. But me and Amy went and saw Papa Roach, Avenged Sevenfold, Buck Cherry, and Saving Abel. But yeah, it was good. Papa Roach is really good live. Buck Cherry is not.
Really?
No. We left when they start, like after their third song, we left. Because it was just awful.
Oh, wow. That's dang. Wow.
Yeah.
How about you guys?
Best concert was probably that Rolling Rock Festival. We went there to see the Deftones, and they were like, I don't know, fifth to the end. That was good. And I've seen a couple Tool shows that were really, really good.
I'd love to see a Tool show.
Yeah. You know, they were really good. It's way out there.
But did you even get to see Maynard at all?
When I saw them, it was the one where he was off stage right a little bit, and he wearing a loincloth, but they broadcast. So all you saw was a shadow broadcast.
Yeah.
But then like at the end of the show, they turn the lights on and he comes and takes a bow like any other part of the band. Like,
Any of the later shows I've seen like on YouTube and stuff, he's always in the shadows.
I saw him at Lollapalooza one time. He came out dressed like a school marm and came out like a pulpit and did the whole show behind like he was preaching the gospel.
Hmm.
So wow. I've seen him. I saw him outside during the day one time. It was pretty cool.
I saw him on the Anima tour and he was in the front.
Yeah.
But the later tour, I think I saw him on the Lateralis.
Yeah, that's when I saw him.
He was the back of the stage.
That's it, yeah. And he was broadcast. Drum. Yeah. Yeah, drum riser was off to the right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would have been a good tour to see him on the Lateralis tour.
It was.
Oh, they were sick.
Yeah, they just didn't play sober.
Really?
Yeah, they did not play sober when I saw them. But when I saw them, Fantomas opened for him, which is one of Mike Patton's side projects, and it was crazy. It was absolutely crazy. That was by far like the most entertained I've ever been at a concert. I remember just being like, "What is going on right now?"
Mike Patton is he's a crazy. I saw
so far out there.
I saw Mr. Bungle in a small club during the California tour.
California, yeah,
crazy. Where they're all dressed. He was dressed in like a white suit and the whole stage was like inflatable palm trees. It was weird.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah. I actually saw Faith No More. I think they're playing together again now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. They're doing like Bacharach covers as part of their set. Like they'll go like in and out of like every genre because that's their thing. It's like they can play every genre. We can play whatever you want to hear. So they go in and out of weirdo stuff. But to complete the thought, the last concert I was at, where me and my younger brother are big fans of classic rock and on the radio and whatever, and we like to play the, you know, who does this tune and whatever. And my brother has been a fan of Eddie Money since he was a little kid for whatever reason. So Eddie Money came around and I was like, we're going to see Eddie Money, but it was a split bill. And it just so happened that night Starship opens up for Eddie Money. So they built their city on rock and roll, and then
That's awesome.
And then the money. Oh, I'll tell you what, Mickey Toms can still say. That was what I took from that, was Starship was completely on point. Like, they haven't missed a step. But Eddie Money looked like someone's, and God forbid, forgive me, Mr. Money, if you're listening to the podcast right now, Mr. Money, sir. But he looked like someone's uncle that had one too many and came out on stage with a lampshade on his head. No voice left, but I got to tell you what, he was like that John Wayne movie, El Cid. He was like, just prop me up on the horse and ride me out in the bottle. I'll sell some tickets. It's fine. Like, that's actually...
Did you just say, no offense to Eddie Money, and then you just went out and did all that?
Yeah, no offense, but all due respect. Hey, I paid my money to watch him, and if he comes back, I'll pay my money again. It was inspiring. No one in my life has ever done more with less on stage. Like, he couldn't sing anymore, and he's like one of those people who's like, take me, hey Pennsylvania, you're beautiful.
Sounds like Vince Neil.
Yeah, but then he, but then at or one Axl point, Rose. He, like, yeah, at one point he picked up his sax and like did like, you know, nice sax solo, and he was all about like, he was, but you know, he was all about trying to earn money, and he was selling special t-shirts for veterans and whatever, and he's like, if you buy the veteran t-shirt, I'll sign it twice so it's worth something, because one signature is really not worth anything anymore. He's like, or if you want, I could say I signed it back in the 80s when I was famous. Like, you know, he was in on the joke. It was good. And it was, I saw him at like a casino, and he kept like, he told jokes in between his songs, which was really funny. And he kept talking about how much money he lost at the casino, and it was different every time. Like, he's like, I'm just down $300. I was at the blackjack table talking. Yeah, all right. He's like, then you go into the next song.
So his, he drummer, is like the old uncle.
Yeah, his drummer is a 16-year-old kid.
What? Nice.
Yeah, his son, his 16-year-old son is his drummer. He's like, and on the drums is my son Chris. He's saving up to buy a car. So I left there. I've never been that entertained in my life. I was inspired. I was like, wow, what a solid act that is, to just be like, yeah, screw it. It was almost like karaoke night. Like, they were playing tracks of his songs. Remember that time? All right.
Man.
Someone top that.
Yeah, you can't beat the money, man.
I don't think I can.
For your entertainment dollar.
All right, Bale's favorite and last.
I can't pick a favorite. I think the last one I went to was Anne Berlin.
How were they? Them.
Yeah. I've seen them. I saw them like three times or so. They're really good live.
Cool.
Gonna see Foo Fighters in July, so that's.
Oh.
I can't pick a favorite, man.
You like their new record?
Who?
Concrete and Gold.
Oh, I haven't even heard it.
Really?
Yeah, I haven't. I can't pick a favorite because I listen to so many genres. I've seen so many good bands at the height. Soundgarden and Metallica I saw at Lollapalooza back in the 90s.
Wow.
I saw Audioslave during their pinnacle. Awesome. Who else? Bjork during her height. I forget what the album's called. Homogenic?
Yeah, was that Human Behavior? Oh. That song, that video was on MTV every 15. That video was on MTV every 15 minutes, where she was like in the woods, plastic woods, running from the big bear. That's all I remember about her.
I've seen Tool twice, Perfect Circle, who are awesome live, Primus several times. They're amazing.
Oh yeah.
So you've seen Tool and you've seen Perfect Circle. Have you seen Pussifier?
No. No,
you get the trifecta.
Steve Vai during the Fire Garden album, amazing.
Oh wow!
That's when Mike Mangini started playing with them.
Wow, what a trip!
Who else? Rush. I'd have to say. Awesome. I saved back in the day when they used to print tickets and you'd save your ticket stub. Do they do that anymore? I think you print your tickets out now.
Yeah, you print.
But back in the day, you'd get that little ticket stub, and I have them all saved in a binder.
I saved mine from Eddie Money.
Did he sign it twice?
No, I didn't buy the T-shirt. Oh. And there was a line of people, man. People couldn't wait to shake Eddie Money's hand.
That's crazy, dude.
I'm going to call him and see if I can't get him to be on the show. Probably not busy. I'm going to put it on the big dry erase board.
Probably. All right, Eloy, your turn.
My favorite concert that I've been to was probably Guns N' Roses New Year's Eve, maybe 1990, 1991.
Oh, man.
Their opening act was, this was from the Use Your Illusion tour, and I think that they were finishing off the tour in Miami. I could be wrong about that, but it was New Year's, and it was back-to-back awesomeness. They played everything. We were first up in the seats, and then we went down, and nobody was bothering with checking. We went down to the general area right in front of the stage, maybe 10 rows back. Soundgarden opened up for them that night, and they were being booed big time.
Soundgarden?
So that's before Soundgarden had any
success. Yeah.
Were they still on like the album that had Rusted Cage?
Yeah. They had just come out with their first album, and nobody, or that's when they first started on MTV, or even probably, who knows if they even had a video on MTV at that time. I don't know. We knew about them, but people were freaking booing them big time. They wanted GNR. GNR was a big deal, dude, back then. A big deal. And that was a great concert. Fireworks, just the whole nine yards. Boy, and it sounded great too. They played everything. And the last concert I went to was Bob Dylan, up in West Palm Beach. I got to sit like just maybe 10 rows, and no, there was no one in front of me. Everybody was there to see the opening act, not Bob Dylan, which was the main act. So all the old people were sitting around watching Bob Dylan. And he's Bob Dylan standing there, you know? I mean, it was pretty cool.
So this Guns N' Roses era would have been, when they were at the height of their career, Axl's vocals were on point.
Oh, yeah.
And before he was pulling all the diva BS.
Or maybe he was already pulling the diva BS at that time. Because I don't know the timeline of that. You've seen... I didn't know about all that until a few years back, and I start at, or what we would read in the magazines back in the day, but I didn't know until I saw all these videos of Axl totally being diva, and I couldn't believe it, dude. He'd say to the crowd, "Shut up, you shut up, shut your mouth," you know, and he treated the public like if he owned them.
Well, it was when he started going on late. And then they'd do a couple songs and they'd storm off. Remember the huge riot that they started when they were opening for Metallica?
Yeah.
Insane. Were they opening or were they co-headlining at that point? I can't remember.
I think it was... Boy, I can't remember either.
I think that started off as a co-headlining tour, and then they ended up being the opening act as the tour went forward. Because that was kind of the unraveling point right there. Because everyone in the audience was there to see Metallica.
Is that the tour where James got injured and they were hoping that Guns N' Roses would like step in and save the day?
Yes.
And then Axl pulled the whole diva.
Yeah. And Metallica made fun of Axl Rose. Like the people from the guys in the band would go over to the Metallica crew and they'd hang out, and Axl would be in a separate, you know, dressing room. He was totally enraptured with his awesomeness, you know, and they'd make fun of him and all that. Maybe it got to his head. A lot of people say that he was trying to get all the drugs out of the band, but he was doing that stuff too, according to what a lot of people say. So I don't know, or maybe drinking or whatever, but he bloated up pretty bad.
So do you look back on GNR like you look back on Motley Crue?
Who, me?
Yeah, you.
Oh, I haven't listened to any GNR lately.
We're going to have suggested listening from podcast to podcast. Does this still hold up?
Maybe I should whip out the chainsaw and go listen to Appetite for Destruction.
Yeah, go get some work done.
I don't dig GNR when I hear it on the radio anymore.
Oh, the songs they play on the radio are just anything at this point. It's just beating your head. Can be anything else.
I can totally disagree with you guys. It is beat. Oh, so I don't know, dude. You guys are like, what a bummer.
Well, dude, we're from the 90s. We are the bummer. We are all the excess and fireworks inside and that latex or spandex pants, excuse me, latex spandex pants and the makeup you had on when you were at your Motley Crue concert looking, you know,
no, but
slightly androgynous. That's okay. No, that we were against all that.
No,
no one looked up the entire decade of the 90s. No one made eye contact because they were so ashamed of what you guys were doing. I can't even look, man. I don't know what I was doing, man.
The 90s was a bummer. Grunge at the time was like when Nirvana came on the scene. It was like, what the heck? Just when they dropped, you know, into the scene, everybody seemed irrelevant. I remember when the debut of Smells Like Teen Spirit came out, I was at my friend's house at the other end of Sweetwater, at his house. It came on the TV, MTV, and when that played, I looked at it and said, this is refreshing. And at the time, at that moment, everybody else became irrelevant for the most part. But after that decade of grunge and depression and I don't care, hey, man, so you want to be in a band? I don't care. Hey, man, so are you going to go out on tour? Yeah, but I don't care. Everything that added after a decade of that crap.
Was it really a decade?
Whatever. Yeah. Well, yeah.
It doesn't seem like grunge lasted that long.
It was horrible. If you look back on it, there's great music, but everything is like, it's like the 60s minus the hope.
There was some hope. Grunge. And then it went into boy band after that. So. We got all the hope we needed after that. good glory.
That's where Bowl Cuts originated from.
I mean, I don't know if you guys like the grunge that way. I liked it at the time, and I loved Pearl Jam. But dude, come on.
I don't really lump anything as grunge or that, you know.
Well, the Seattle scene. I liked Pearl Jam, but I liked Alice in Chains.
I was just gonna say Chains was right around that time too.
Yeah.
And they're
the first album I thought was great, but Dirt, I loved it. Even though it was all, you know, drug related.
You ever think back on some of those bands, like just for example, Nirvana and Alice in Chains, if the lead singers would have still been around, if they would either be juggernauts today or if they would have just fizzled out.
No, awful. Like I completely agree with Kurt Cobain. If he wouldn't have died, it would have got it. What are you gonna do with past that? Like, everyone should be able to live their life, and I'm not glad he's dead.
Kurt Cobain would be trying to put two signatures on Doc's Mexican blanket.
Exactly. He'd be like, all right, now I'm gonna sing a song from that's my old rock star voice.
I think Chains would still be.
Well, they're still going, right?
Music there.
Yeah, going with the music, yeah. I don't really like any of the new stuff they put out.
No.
I mean, the lead singer can kind of sound like Lane Staley, but...
You need Lane's suffering and despair to make that music good.
We have to talk about... Well, just mention how awesome that Unplugged was.
Oh, yeah.
That was so good.
Stumbling all over himself, too.
Yeah.
Oh, he was gone. Oh, even the side project was good to listen to.
Was that Mad Season? Or...
Yeah.
All right, next week we're going to have an Unplugged episode. So it's going to be scratched, unplugged. It's going to be an hour of silence, just dead air.
Might be better.
Yeah, no, I was going to say you're welcome.
Or Doc's idea that he threw at me today of doing a 2-hour episode of watching, was it Batman Forever or?
No, Batman and Robin.
Batman and Robin.
Clune Bat.
Watching it a la Mystery Science Theater 3000.
I used to love that show.
Yeah.
Yeah. We could just sit there and pan it.
Oh, that's awful. that's awful. That's all we'd be saying the whole time. That's just awful.
All right. Well, we got our Batman mention in for this episode. Put it on the big board, kids.
It's the speedy delivery guy, and boy, does he have a package.
Yeah, Mr. McFeely.
You've made me rethink Motley Crue and my appreciation of him.
he's trying to figure it all out now, man.
I'm so upset about that because it's like something has been stolen from me this evening.
All right, well, go back and listen to the 1994 self-titled and just remember how awesome John Corabi was, and people should have given him a chance, damn it.
See,
because that album was tight. That was probably Tommy Lee's best playing ever.
Wow, dude. Well, see, but you're looking at it from the viewpoint of the drums, right? Because you do appreciate that. And you just ruined it for me, dude. Like, I'll never, like, you know, all those moments, I'm just going to have to bury them. I can't believe how you feel about Dr. Feelgood. And yet, I feel bad.
I used to love Dr. Feelgood.
And yet I agree with you, because when you put it in context of, you know, shake, 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 rattlesnake, shake, and she goes down, you're totally right. It's like, what the heck is that? So, well.
That should be the homework for the listeners this week. How many times did Eloy say shake, 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 rattlesnake, shake?
I don't know what to tell you.
Dude, I'd be interested if any of the listeners, do we throw this up on the Facebook page, right? Or
we will. Facebook page. Mm-hmm.
I want to see what albums people thought were awesome back in the day, but they've recently gone back and listened to, and they think it's horrible.
All right.
I'd be interested. I'd like to know that.
Yeah, what doesn't hold up?
There's so many, though. I don't know. We're at the 10:09 mark. We still got a few minutes, yeah?
Yeah.
I just wanted to put one thing in. How did you guys, if you remember, and how do you feel about Warrant, the band Warrant?
I have zero feelings about Warrant.
Yeah. Who did Cherry Pie?
That's one of the reasons we weren't looking at each other in the making eye contact in the 90s. It was like, man, I don't know. Warrant, that's
is that awesome. Why we all hung our heads and walked around?
I think it was. That's why I looked down. It was it was because of Warrant specifically.
Man, they had some good tracks.
Poison. Don't forget Poison.
Oh, man. Why were we wearing makeup? I mean, but at the same time, you want to talk about hope. I was so glad. In my heart, I was like, I never had to put any tights on, so that's positive. No tights.
You never had to tease your hair either.
No, that would have been terrible. Could you imagine if I would have been like 20 during like the 80s and everyone else is walking around with their big head of hair and I'm like old man bald? Like, thank God it went bald in like a time and place where, like, you know, it was okay to just throw a bic on it and be about your business.
No. But that's a misconception, dude. That's a misconception. In the 80s, okay. Didn't you notice how you'd see the movies and everybody was dressed in a certain way, but like normal people didn't really dress like that. It's kind of like, for the most part, you know, if you had long hair, you just had long hair.
Right. But everybody around, I don't know. There were like two guys in the 80s, like white dudes that I remember. Like everyone's dad either looked like Huey Lewis or John Mellencamp. Like that was the hairstyles that, you know, it was either short or over. And that was it. It was every guy I knew.
I had a mullet.
Of course you did.
At some point I had a mullet. Did you guys have mullets?
No, no. Our mullet was the bowl cut was the mullet of the 90s.
Bales, did you ever have a mullet?
No.
I swear to you, I had dude.
Sounds like there's a little bit of regret in your answer.
There was a stage where I was growing my hair out that the back was a little longer than the sides, but I didn't have like a full out, you know, short up top. You know, business on top, party in the back. I didn't have that. I didn't have the Billy Ray Cyrus. Is that what you had?
I had the Billy Ray Cyrus.
Dude.
Are you serious?
Be still, my achy, breaky heart.
Yes. I don't know, dude. What can I tell you?
What's your middle name? Is it Ray? Eloy Ray Escalada? Achy, breaky heart.
Eloy Ray. Down with his gators.
That's too good. I don't know. Eloy's mullet brings everything to a scratching halt.
Yeah, I think that's... yeah.
I had this thought of Eloy with a belt buckle line dancing and with his mullet, and now I can't find my center. I'm off track
of
now.
That I'm just picturing it with Right Said Fred in the background as the sound.
Oh, I'm taking it up.
Dude, but that's bad. I don't know. No, dude. You don't have to put Right Said Fred.
Is he wearing the mesh shirt like in that video?
I hope so.
This is very, very, very strange indeed.
I hated that.
What a
that
turn
song.
We've taken. Nothing good happens after the 10:09 mark. By the way, ladies and gentlemen of the audience, this is where it goes off the rails.
Hey guys, thanks for joining us for another episode of Scratch. We hope you had fun listening in on our conversation. Remember, you can also join us on Facebook or Instagram, and we can keep this conversation going throughout the week with you guys. So we'll hope to have you back again next week for another episode of Scratched.